From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. Iran reached a nuclear milestone today. Workers began loading fuel into the Bushehr nuclear plant. A number of Western leaders doubt Iran's assertion that its program is entirely peaceful. NPR's Peter Kenyon reports from Istanbul as Iran hails the achievement.
Iranian state television showed Iranian and Russian officials overseeing the start of the fueling process. The Bushehr plant was finished with Russian help, and Moscow has pledged to ensure that spent nuclear fuel isn't used in some kind of weapons program. Washington and its Western allies worry that Tehran's insistence on enriching its own uranium means that Iran wants to acquire nuclear weapons. They argue that it's wrong to reward Iran with a working nuclear power plant while it continues to balk at United Nations demands that it stop enriching uranium. Despite its large oil reserves, years of sanctions have led to shortages in Iran, which says the Bushehr plant could be generating electricity for the southern part of the country in a matter of weeks. Peter Kenyon, NPR News, Istanbul.
In China, 50,000 people have been evacuated as the river marking the border with North Korea floods. As NPR's Louisa Lim reports from Beijing, state-run media in Pyongyang are calling the high water devastating.
Almost 2 feet of rain have fallen on the Chinese city of Dandong since Friday morning. This caused the Yalu River to breach a dike, causing 200 houses to collapse and cutting transportation links. Across the border, the North Korean city of Sinuiju has been severely affected as well. The Korean Central News Agency said floodwaters had submerged housing, public buildings and farmland in 3 sectors of the city, as well as nearby villages. Earlier this month, authorities suspended shipping and tourist traffic on the Yalu amid fears of flooding. The river had seen a record amount of rain in a 2-week period. Floods in China this year have left nearly 4,000 people dead or missing. Louisa Lim, NPR News, Beijing.
The latest flooding in Pakistan has forced the evacuation of about 150,000 people. A government spokesman says the swollen Indus River has flooded dozens more towns. A warrant has been issued for the arrest of WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange. As Larry Miller reports from London, he's wanted for alleged sexual offenses in Sweden.
Swedish prosecutors confirmed to the BBC and other media that Julian Assange is wanted on 2 separate charges of rape and molestation. A spokeswoman gave no further details. Initially published in a Swedish newspaper, Assange denied the accusations on Twitter, saying they were baseless and deeply disturbing. Last month, WikiLeaks published more than 90,000 secret U.S. military documents on the war in Afghanistan, with another 15,000 due to come out soon. Assange was in Sweden last week, the location of the whistleblowing website servers. Swedish authorities say Assange should contact the police so he can be confronted with the suspicions.
Larry Miller reporting from London. This is NPR. The vote counting is continuing in Australia's federal election, as Stuart Cohen reports from Sydney. The election may not produce a clear winner.
Australia could be looking at a hung parliament, with neither major party winning enough seats to form a majority government. The last time that happened was before World War II. The country's governor general would then be forced to choose a party to invite to take control of parliament without a majority. A record number of postal and overseas votes are still to be counted, so the country's treasurer, Wayne Swan, says it's too early to make any calls.
Well, I think there are a lot of very close seats out there. I think we've got to wait a few days until we go through those results.
Just 5 weeks ago, the Labour Party was looking like a shoe-in, riding a bump in popularity when Julia Gillard became the country's first female prime minister after ousting her predecessor, Kevin Rudd. Now she could become the country's shortest-serving prime minister. For NPR News, I'm Stuart Cohen in Sydney.
If I was president, yeah, instead of spending billions on the war, I can use
that. Hip-hop artist Wyclef Jean performing at the Democratic National Convention back in 2004. When it rains, that's when they Jean had harbored aspirations to become president of earthquake-shattered Haiti, but those hopes have been dashed. Haiti's electoral authority says Jean does not meet the requirement that presidential candidates have 5 consecutive years of residency in Haiti prior to running. Jean says he accepts the ruling and wants his fans in Haiti to act peacefully and responsibly. Some fear his exclusion could spark riots. I'm Giles Snyder. This is NPR News from Washington.